You started while I was drinking.
Okay.
No, that's okay. Sorry. It's okay. We can keep going. We're good. We're golden. Okay. Golden stars. Hey guys, welcome to the Dark Light Podcast. I'm Joe.
I'm Jen.
And first off, I would like to say thanks to Jen for making our cool first merch cups that we have been having celebratory mimosas in.
For our 10th episode coming out tonight.
We made it 10 episodes and we'll make it 10 more and then we'll have another mimosa night.
We're going to have another mimosa night.
Yeah. The champagne was $6.99. The orange juice was more expensive than the alcohol, which is a sad realization. And that's why people are alcoholics. And I am one of them.
Oopsie baby.
Okay. So, first off, I want to say, this is just like a before we start the episode, I sent you that thing, that mom, and I can't remember her name right now. And she, like, so she went missing a little while ago, and she had sent her daughter a text message that was,
oh, yes.
Like, yeah, do you remember what her name is?
I have it right here.
Okay. And she, like, sent her mom, or her daughter, like, they won't let me go, I sent you $2,400 or whatever. But, and then she was found dead a little bit while later, and she was, like, tied and burned to a tree. Debbie Collier.
Collier?
Yeah. And she was, like, burnt and tied to a tree, and they just came out saying that it was a suicide.
Yeah.
What? That is not right.
No.
And I hope they do a lot more searching on that.
Yeah, and there was a lot more to that story, too.
Yes.
I read a lot into that. We should cover that one next.
I think we can, but once there's a little bit more information.
Yeah.
I just, like, oh, there's another one that I want to cover. I know we're just rambling, but it's the beginning of the story, so just deal with it, okay?
And this is a good story, so we got time.
Yeah. It's a short story, but it's a
gruesome,
like a brutal story.
Not just one though. There's two stories.
There is two stories mixed into it. Dun dun dun. But there is I think she was a teacher, and she was found in her apartment and stabbed like 27 times, and they ruled it a suicide. But they just reopened the case.
So what is their thought process to that?
I do not know, because one of them was like, the stab went like through her spine, like her spinal cord or whatever, which would have
paralyzed
her. And she continued to stab herself, apparently. So,
but even after like...
one?
Yeah, one stab wound, like, I don't think you could stab yourself 27 times.
No. I may be off on that number, but it was somewhere around there. Okay. Back to our story for today. So, we are doing a story from Poland. So, this girl's name, the victim, she does have a very Poland name. And we have a hard time pronouncing it. So we will say it in the very beginning. And then just to kind of respect her in her, like, we don't want to be saying the wrong name or mispronouncing it. So we are just going to be calling her Kay throughout the story. And it's not, we're not trying to be disrespectful at all. It's just we are having a hard time pronouncing her name. So, this is going to be the story of Katarzyna Zawada? Is that who? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and like I said, we will be...
calling her Kay from now on.
Yeah.
She was 23 years old, pretty, with blonde hair, lived in Poland. She studied at a Polish university. Friends said she suffered from depression since her dad's death in the late 1990s. She was known to be nice, but sad and withdrawn.
She changed her field of studies twice. Her first year, she did psychology. She briefly visited history, and then she settled on religious studies. So now that I'm reading that, that's three, but oh well. In November 1998, she was to meet her mom at a psychiatric clinic in Noah, Utah, where she had been going to treat her depression.
She would never make it to that appointment. Her mom tried to file a missing person report that might night, but ultimately she was advised to wait. Kay had gone missing without a trace.
January 6, 1996, a tugboat operator who was driving in the Vistula River felt a jerk. He knew this was abnormal, but he just kind of thought it was like some seaweed or something like that, something floating in the river. Maybe it was like a log or something. So he got his crew to go check it out, and what they discovered was not what they were expecting. They started to smell a really foul smell, and they found what they thought at the time was a piece of cloth.
The alleged cloth was wrapped around the propeller blades. They saw a human ear attached to it. The men from the crew immediately notified authorities, who quickly came to the realization that they were dealing with a homicide.
After examination, it was determined to be human skin, and DNA would later confirm the sad truth. Rather than it being Kay's body, it was somehow much more sinister. It was just her skin.
Authorities decided to take a team of divers down into the river to see if they could find any remaining pieces of evidence or any remnants of the young lady they had just discovered.
A day later, they would discover her right leg and pieces of her clothing in the same river. Her head and limbs would never be recovered. Investigators would find out that her skin was prepared in a way that would suggest that the killer wore it.
Like a body mask? Or a suit? Like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Spoiler alert, if you haven't heard of Ed Gein...
Gein? Sorry, drinking.
He also would wear corpses of stolen bodies. This case would bring investigators from all over, including the FBI.
And we will do Ed Gein at some point, but it's going to be one that's going to be more than likely a multi-parter, and it's going to take me a long ass time to research. It was determined that she would have been alive during this ordeal. She was beaten first. The right limb over the ankle joint had to be strapped to something. It was found out later that she had died somewhere between December 7th and the 14th of 1998. The perpetrator choked the victim with a chain.
Before that, he had given her psychotic drugs, anti-anxiety medication, and potassium chloride. He broke her femur and pelvis by punching a barbell into her as a bodybuilding exercise. Stab wounds, chop wounds, and lacerations were discovered. It was rumored that he sexually abused her while she was dead.
Then her neck, armpits, and groin were cut with a knife, and she died from blood loss. Then her skin was flared. The killer ripped her organs out. They assumed that Kay would still be dying from blood loss when he did this. This would be found out later by the discovery of a secret diary.
They believed that the killer would be trained in martial arts. The skin would be cut with extreme precision. The case would go cold for about 20 years, with the exception of one suspect, Vladimir W.
Vladimir was a 26-year-old from Kwasasis. Sorry. I think that's how you say it. But he was living in Poland. He wanted to kill his father for reasons nobody could understand except maybe Vladimir himself. He tried to electrocute his father with a stun gun, but when that failed, he lured his father into the cellar in his home.
When he got his father down there, he stabbed him with a screwdriver. When his dad died, he hung him up by the legs, took a shovel and surgical scalpel. And once his dad was decapitated, he let his dad's corpse bleed into a bucket.
He took his father's head and neck into his bedroom, where he flayed the skin off. With a needle and thread, he sewed the skin back together, then placed it over his head, like a mask. With it on, he proceeded to go meet up with his grandfather for breakfast.
His grandfather was visually impaired. This caused him not to see the horror that was going on. He thought he was with his son. After breakfast, his grandfather acknowledged that the voice coming from his son was unnatural. That is when he went to the cellar at the house and found his son's body, blood drained hanging upside down.
The grandfather went to the neighbors to call the authorities. Vladimir fled, but not for long. He would be captured on a bench. In 2008, he was sentenced to 25 years in jail in Russia, where he was deported to. His reasoning for the murder and the mask was to see if his grandfather would notice a difference. Vladimir would plead innocence to Kay's murder.
Investigators would go on to make a profile of the killer, and the case name would be called Leather. The profiler came up with was sadist, enjoyed harassment of women, and may likely be a prior convict.
20 years later, a suspect would be arrested. This suspect had been on the police's vision since the beginning.
Police would exhume Kay's body to collect botanical traces and organic fibers that would conclude she was not killed at the river, but somewhere else.
Robert Janczewski was considered a weirdo and a freak by many Polish newspapers. He also seemed to fit the killer's profile. He was trained in martial arts. He was fired from his job at the Institute of Zoology after he killed many rabbits with no explanation to give.
As a child, he would abuse cats and dogs. He was raised by an abusive father. It was alleged by law authorities that he would spy on his neighbors. Robert was also bisexual. They found in his diary that he described the murder of Kay and would often go visit her gravesite. When police examined his bathroom, his tub showed signs of blood, which when they tested would give a positive match to Kay's.
It took a long time, but finally her killer would be brought to justice. He was sentenced to life in prison. It seems to be a case that is under wraps. There isn't much on the trial side. It was postponed for many months. We hope that he will stay behind bars for the rest of his life. R.I.P. Kay. No person deserves to be murdered, but this definitely wasn't something that needed to happen. We are very pleased that after so many years, she can finally have justice. And I do just want to say, I did look through, like, everything, and I couldn't find anything on, like, I could not find any more information. We went through a bunch of websites to try and find stuff. But I think because it is a Polish one, I feel like a lot of it would be in Polish writing, which I don't know how to read, because I did pull up a few sites that I was like,
yeah,
what? So if there's any Polish readers and you have any insight to the story, please reach out to us.
And we would gladly cover that.
Yes, we would gladly do an update to the story.
Thanks for listening to the Dark Light Podcast.
You can follow us on Instagram at dark.klight.podcast_.
And on Twitter at darklightpod1.
You can email us at darklightpodcast@hotmail.com. And that is also for you Polish listeners. If you guys have any updates on this story, you guys can email us right there at darklightpodcast@hotmail.com. You can also email us with any episode requests, story of yours, that you maybe want to be coming up on a possible sequel called Crowd Chronicles.
We will see you next Tuesday. And to remember,
keep your lights on.